with people that God gave me later, that was kind of the foundation of my experience early in my Christian life. So this is something that up until that time, it was brand new for me too, so I understand kind of where you all are at. You know, the scriptures are very, very graphic. A lot of times, God will put in his word pictures, like God says, God is light. And you think, well, what's light like? Well, you see light and darkness, and you have an idea, well, God must be like light coming on in darkness. All of a sudden, you can see clearly. You can see where you're going. You can have direction. You can keep away from obstacles. You can avoid hindrances in your life. So God must be that way for my life because God is light. God also says in the scriptures an awful lot of times that new Christians are like physical babies. There's an awful lot of correlation between a spiritual babe in Christ and a physical babe. Like in John 3:3, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And he's talking about just the same way you had a physical birth, you need to have a spiritual birth. Can you all see through this if I run on the blackboard? Okay. 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babes, long for the pure spiritual milk of the word, that by it you may grow up into salvation. So throughout the scriptures, just a few other references on that for those of you who are taking notes. 1 Corinthians 3:1, Hebrews 5:12-13, 1 John 2:14, or 12-14. Some good references. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3:1, Hebrews 5:12-13, and John 3:3 that we already mentioned, 1 Peter 2:2, and 1 John 2:12-14. Okay, what are some needs you think that a physical baby has? Some of you all are mothers, and you're well acquainted with that. And Debbie, you're going to be a new mother. I'm going to be a new mother. We're going to have a fine experience with you lived out. What do you think are some needs of a newborn baby? Feeding. Feeding, okay, food. Okay, just feed them. Larry's looking forward to that. Okay. Love, yes. Contact. Personal contact. Okay.
Protection.
So they need protection, but I think even more than that, probably what we're getting at is they need this assistance to pick it around besides protection.
They need quiet too, they need to be afraid
of them. Okay, quiet. Hey, one that I put down that you all didn't get well too, one is sleep. That kind of goes along with the quiet, the period of rest. And another one that I put down was that they need training and correction. Although later on the correction. Okay. Can you imagine what would happen if my husband loves to tell this story? He said, can you imagine what would have happened to me if my parents had brought me home from the hospital and they made a little bassinet and a crib and a whole bed and put a padding in the bottom and had knitted a blanket and crocheted and done all these things and made wonderful clothes and wonderful bedding and
just to be fair, the marble tomb. They put him in the middle of the kitchen. They said, and imagine my father coming in and saying, well, son, you know, we have to care for you. We built shelves along the bottom of the kitchen here, and the formula is right here, and the icebox has a special shelf just for you. All you have to do is open the door and reach in to get your formula, and the cans, they're not real hard. You have to get a can opener to get that open, and here's the little rubber mat to get the screw tops off things, you know, how we have fun doing that. And all this stuff is prepared for you, and in fact, your mother has been almost unbearable these last couple of months. So, it's been hard on me. In fact, we're going to take a 2-week vacation. So everything is prepared. We know how to get the lids off and everything. We'll see in 2 weeks. You know, out the door they go. Well, what happens when they come home? One dead baby. And they come and they stand over the kid and go, ah, Larry just wasn't sincere. And he just didn't want to live. I mean, everything is prepared for him. All I had to do was open it. Well, what's wrong with that? He wasn't old enough. And he really didn't know him. He did not have the concept of him. In fact, he didn't even have practical experience. So, if the needs of a physical baby are not met, he's gone physically. But what happens when the needs of a spiritual baby are not met? He doesn't grow. Why? He'll stay a baby. And perhaps two of the saddest verses in Scripture. Everybody look at Psalm 102. This is really sad. Verses 6 and 7. And somebody read that for me. Psalm 102, 6 and 7. Somebody read that for me.
I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I walk and am scared a little and I am hopeful.
Okay, and flip over to Psalm 142, verse 4. This is another sad verse. David says, look to the right and see, for there is no one who regards me. There is no escape for me. No one cares for my soul. And that is the kind of feeling that a baby Christian has and sometimes doesn't even know, is not even aware of their need. They know they need to grow, and yet deep inside there's this longing, and yet if no one's around who gives them that kind of care and protection and feeding from the Word of God, they just won't grow. And that's the kind of emotion that's wrapped up with a person who is not helped to grow in the Christian life. Some of you perhaps have had personal experience that way, where you did not have the privilege of having someone around to help you early in your life, to see if your head's nod here and there, that you know the feeling of being like a pelican in the wilderness and no one cares for my soul. So basically, what we're talking about is the fact that, you know, God is in the business of bringing people to himself, and he uses people to do that in his word. And the facts are, people will be born again. People will come into the kingdom of God. There will be spiritual babies. The problem is, where are the spiritual parents? And who are the spiritual parents? Well, God says we are. That if you've been born again and you're one step ahead of another person, then you're equipped to help someone else grow in the same way that you've grown. All you have to be is one step ahead, and that's what's really encouraging to me. So basically what we're talking about is spiritual pediatrics, if you will, or follow-up. Okay, well, what is follow-up? Somebody give me a definition of follow-up. Regina, give me a definition of follow-up.
Being one step ahead from another.
Okay. Keeping in touch, giving care. All right. Okay, well, one thing it's not, let's talk about what follow-up is not. It's not giving a new Christian a pep talk on reading their Bible. Now, I'm not down on reading the Bible. I think it's great, and it's a necessary thing, and it's something we need to encourage. But if that's all you do with a person, that's not follow-up. Or you invite someone to church or to Sunday school. Maybe even you go get them and bring them there. But if that's all you ever do with them, that's not follow-up. That's not really taking the personal interest and being able to do these kinds of things spiritually with a person. Perhaps this is one of the most concise definitions of follow-up. And I'll have to read it because I only got half of it memorized. is getting closely involved in the life of a person, sharing your life with her, giving her personal and specific help with her problems, teaching her through association, observation, and instruction to relate every area of her life to the Word of God. You want that repeated? Okay. Getting closely involved in the life of a person, sharing your life with her, giving her personal and specific help with her problems, and teaching her through association, observation, and instruction to relate every area of her life to the Word of God. Okay, one more time, real quick. Getting closely involved in the life of a person, sharing your life with her, giving her personal and specific help with her problems, and teaching her through association, observation, and instruction to relate every area of her life to the Word of God. Now, there are two cautions I want to leave with you before Margina comes and gets to the practical part. Let's look together at 1 Thessalonians 2:8. As Julie is sharing in her testimony, this is a marvelous chapter, a marvelous book to study for principles of follow-up. I don't know how many of you have ever done this kind of Bible study where you just ask a question and you go to the scriptures and answer the question like, well, what is follow-up? Or what does Paul do with new Christians? And if you study through the book of 1 Thessalonians, God will give you all sorts of new answers, because this is a real exciting book where Paul bears his heart and shares with us some of the practical things he did with people. 1 Thessalonians 2:8 says, having thus a fond affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. In 2 Corinthians 12:15, let's all look at that together. Okay, it says, and I will most gladly spend and be spent for your souls. If I love you the more, am I to love less? And people, if you get involved in follow-up, be prepared. It will cost. It will cost your life. When Virginia was talking about being rejected, you know, if you've ever witnessed to somebody and it's just kind of, you know, didn't respond very well, you know the feeling of rejection. Well, sometimes
babies will poop on you. You'll need to change their diapers. And there are all sorts of spiritual diapers to be changed and spiritual burps to be cleaned up. And there's going to be a cost involved. It will cost you something. It will cost you time. It will cost you Coke money or hot chocolate money. There'll be a sacrifice in terms of, maybe you want to watch TV, but you know you need to go see so-and-so and really encourage them in Christian life. Now, there are going to be some costs involved. So if you want to pay a price, get involved in follow-up. But if you don't, just kind of steer away from it, because if you get involved in it, God will demand a price. It will cost you something. And the second caution is God will hold you accountable. Look at Hebrews 13:7. And the writer says, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the outcome of their way of life, imitate their faith. And God is going to hold you responsible for feeding them the word of God and sharing testimony from your own life of how God has applied his word to your life and changed your life. And it also says, considering the outcome of their way of life, imitate their faith. And gang, I don't know about you, but sometimes I have to question myself, do I have a faith worth imitating? Would someone want to walk with God the way I walk with God? And boy, that is motivating to me, to know that God expects me to pay a price to help other people but also he expects me to have a quality of life that people would want to follow. Because time after time, Paul said, follow me, follow me, follow me as I follow Jesus. Imitate my faith. And time again, I've had to look at my life and say, well, I want to follow him. Now, so there's two sides of it. One is personal preparation, and the other is involvement in the lives of people. And for the sake of time, Margina, I'm going to let you have it. Margina's going to share with us some very practical things that we can do to prepare to do follow-up and just to think through a practical plan of how you could help someone grow.
Okay, just checking the tape. First of all, I wanted to, everybody turn to 1 Corinthians 3:6. And everybody kind of warm? Okay, and I want to, as soon as you turn to, just kind of hold it, you know, for right now. Basically, what we're going to be talking about is real practical how-tos of how to follow somebody up. But before we get into that, there's three underlying principles you have to remember, or you can, you know, get real frustrated in trying to follow up somebody. It's in 1 Corinthians 3:6, and does somebody just read that?
I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth.
Okay, the principles are in that verse. Number one, God does it. He's the one that causes growth. If you're expecting to make somebody grow, you're going to be frustrated because you can't. It's God that gives growth. So the second principle is that God uses people. It says, you know, Apollos, I planted, Apollos watered. You know, there was two of them on this, you know, those poor Corinthians, you know, they needed two. So God uses people. And then the last one is that God uses people that are closest to him. For instance, if Wendy had a piece of chalk, and I needed a piece of chalk to write with, and she had one, and then there's one up here. Most likely the one I'm going to use is the one right here because it's the closest to me. And it's the same thing with God. He's going to use you in somebody else's life as you're closest to him. And again, Hebrews 13:7, you know, your own walk with God has got to really keep going. You cannot help somebody if, you know, they're way ahead of you. So just keep those underlying thoughts as we go in to the practical aspects. Now there's four general ways of follow-up. I'm sure there's probably many more, but we're just going to just mention four and deal with one. One is personally do it. And this is the one we'll get into, so I want to explain that one. The other one is using tapes or letters. That's if somebody is not living in the same town you are. You wouldn't write them a letter if they lived next door. So, and like the New Testament is a good example of this. Paul wrote follow-up letters, you know. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Ephesians, Galatians, all of those are letters because he couldn't make it. He was in prison. And another way is maybe mail them a tape, you know, so that can really help their growth. And that's what really helped me. I basically was followed up initially through a tape, through lots of tapes from OUBSU. And the lady who followed me up, she'll never know, it was Lila Sparks. And I've never met her, will someday in heaven, but, you know, I just listened to her tapes all the time for over a year and a half until I went someplace and got some one-to-one help. But tapes, I mean, don't discount them because God can mightily use them. And the other one is to send somebody else. This is something that Paul did too. He sent Titus to check up on, you know, the Ephesians. He sent Timothy to check on the Philippians and, you know, I'm not sure if those towns are right, but sending someone else. And, like, if you know somebody who's going to go to, you know, say, Iowa State next year, and they live in Kansas, well, man, give them the name of Jack Owens. you know, and give Jack their name. You know, just don't say, well, God bless you, you know, hope you grow over there in Ames, Iowa. You know, but man, give them names. And then pray for that person. And no matter if they're, you're on a one-to-one basis with them or if they're someplace else, always pray for them. That's a real main ingredient. Okay, now we're going to deal with how to personally do this. And see, Tammy, and how you want to pass these out. And everybody gets one. So this is going to be kind of an evaluation, and we're not going to ask for a show of hands or a check. I'd love to ask for a show of hands, but I won't. Anyway, as you look at this list, the question I want you to just kind of mentally ask yourself right now is, if you were going to follow someone up, what would you do? You know, where would you begin? What would you do with them? So we're just going to kind of go through this list briefly, quickly. Let's look at the basic topics right offhand. And I want you to actually check them. Put a check mark if you can. Check below the topics and illustrations that you know and can share with somebody. For instance, number one, sharing with somebody assurance of salvation. If they're doubting whether they're saved or not, could you sit down with that person and share with them, just using the Bible, how to gain assurance of salvation? If you can, check it. If you can't, leave it blank. The other one is, can you draw out the fact, faith, feeling illustration? If you've never heard of it, most likely you can't do it. So, and I'm not going to explain what it is either. Third one is Lordship of Christ. If somebody's having struggles with making Jesus Lord of their life, can you sit down and help a person with that area? Can you share with somebody how to have a quiet time? What it is, so on and so forth. Can you share with somebody how to pray? How to purposefully pray, like setting up prayer lists. How to praise God, how to thank God, confession. Okay, can you share with somebody scripture memory, how to memorize scripture, you know, writing out the verses, you know, if they want to do a verse pack, you know. Can you share that with them? Witnessing. Can you teach somebody how to write out their personal testimony or to use an illustration? And fellowship. Can you sit down and share with a person how to get fellowship and what fellowship is about? And fellowship is not punching cookies, you know, just that isn't it. Number nine, can you share with them the hand illustration? If you don't know what that is, then you don't know how to do it. Also, can you share the wheel illustration with them? And, okay, let's go to the next list. Check below the ones that you've read yourself, you've read these little materials, and you know how to use them in helping somebody else. Okay, and these really correlate with these topics in order. Like the first one is My Heart, Christ Home. Have you read it, and do you know how to use it in helping someone else? Okay. Have you made the wonderful discovery of the Spirit-filled life? Can you use this pamphlet? Okay, 7 minutes with God. This is with a quiet time. Beginning with Christ. This is to help them memorize verses. Okay, coming to Christ through Scripture Memory by Dawson Trotman. This is also would be a help with scripture memory. And this is a witnessing tool. The real purpose of life. Do you know how to use this in witnessing and can teach somebody else how to use it?
An intellectual is born to reproduce, often by Dawson Trotman. And this deals with follow-up and how to help them pass it on to somebody else. So, I'm not going to have you pack those in or anything. You can keep them and use them for yourself. I don't know if this is encouraging or not. I took these 10 basic topics from a list of about 40 or 60. So these are very basic topics. And like if you think, oh, I've got the 10, you know, I have got it complete. Well, you know, there's about 30 more topics, you know, we can help. And before we go on, I want you to ask yourself, what areas do you need help in your own life? Now, if there were areas here that you didn't know how to do, you know, you couldn't share these with somebody. You never heard of them before. Then go to somebody and ask them. You know, you cannot usually help somebody else if you haven't been helped. Those are real rare instances. You know, and you can't say, man, that girl really needs followed up. I've never been followed up, but you really need it, you know. you know, and it's a real test of humility to go to somebody and say, listen, I don't know how to do these things. You know, like going to Lena, you know, Judy, just some, you know, Christian who would know. And, you know, so if you need help in your own life, you need to seek that out too. Okay, some basic ideas as we have behind follow-up, some of these verses Joanne shared is to always love them. And you say, oh, that's easy. Well, it's not. There's going to be times when they're not very loving. But you really need to share, to really communicate that whether they show up at the, you know, the BSU rallies every Thursday or not, you're still going to love them. Whether they attend a certain conference you think would be great with them, you're still going to love them whether they don't come. If they turn their back on God, you're still going to love them. Another one is give your life. 1 Thess 2:8, which Joanne said, you know, we've not only parted into you the very word of God, but our very lives as well. And that means time. And you've got to give your life. Follow-up is not spending 1 hour a week with a girl sharing spiritual things and then, you know, well, I'll see you next week, Susie. That is not follow-up. You know, what you're doing is you're doing a project with a human being. And follow-up is totally giving your life, being available to them, to call, to just go play racquetball, to meet the very deepest needs of their life, whatever they may be. And it'll cost you having them over for dinner, you know, staying up late. Just, it's going to cost. And do fun things with them. You know, just don't, you know, 1 hour a week with spiritual things. And I know this is a hard area for me, is doing fun things with them. And so what I did with some of the girls that I get with is I've scheduled, you know, every other week we will have fun. And I mean, you ask Julian, you know, I'll say, what do you enjoy to do? You know, what is fun to you? You know, not what's fun to me, but what's fun to them. And, you know, as I went and asked each girl, you know, this is really going to be a fun semester. You know, they're very versatile in their fun. Another thing is, it more is caught than taught. They're going to pick up more from your life than what you're going to tell them. 2 Timothy 2:2, you know, things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And see, it's the things that you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses. And, you know, like Paul says in Timothy 2 Timothy, you know, you know my persecutions, you know my trials, you know, you know everything. Like he lists like 2 or 3 verses of everything that he's gone through. And the reason he knew that is because Timothy was with him. And, you know, he caught those things from Paul's life. And then like in Hebrews 13:7, imitate their faith. And that's scary. You know, because they are going to imitate your faith. And, I remember some girls that I was helping, we all like drew out the wheel illustration, which I'm going to draw in a while.